Good morning and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. The first thing we need to do is prepare for this morning's worship with prayer. Nothing we can say or do is worthwhile to God unless it's done in His power. So search your soul, lay aside your guilt, self-obsession, and problems, and ask Him, God the Holy Spirit, for the eyes and ears, so that all that we say and do may edify this local body and glorify our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to have freedom one more time, at least, to come together and to study Your Word. Heavenly Father, the perverse and crooked generation that we live in denies Your Word, says even that it is antithetical to all they believe, Heavenly Father, and we know this to be true because there is no light in them, and they have no way to know the glory of Christ unless You work through us. Give us the eyes and ears to see it, that we may tell others. Heavenly Father, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will work through us to that end today, that we may learn the things that will teach us to glorify our Savior in our lives. And we ask these things in Christ's name, sir. Amen. Well, let's start off this morning with some praise to God in song.
All right, if you have a hymnal nearby, would you turn to 369, Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.
A lovely waltz. Okay. Thank you, Brian, for leading us in song. It's so wonderful to have that opportunity to come together. One of these days we're going to get technologically advanced and have a follow the bouncing ball and words on the screen for you and everything. We use the Brodmann hymnal. For those of you at home, since you're not able to come or don't want to risk coming, maybe you can find a Brodmann hymnal on Amazon and join with us in song from home. Let's see. So, prayer requests and general announcements. As far as announcements go, Kit Sheehan is going to be with you Wednesday night, and I'm going to do both Sunday classes. I'm sure Chris will get some class together before too long as the Spirit moves him. And he's always busy teaching with the youth group. So I'm sure that there'll be some overlap classes there somewhere. But I've got you covered for the next few Sundays, and Kit has you covered for the next few Wednesday nights. And if you can't join with us, at least study your own Bible a little bit, huh? Let's see. So we have no big events coming up. I don't think there's a fundraiser on the horizon for the youth group, is there? What's the next fund? Not until. Okay, we'll find out about that. Let's see. Prayer requests. Of course, continuous prayers for Herman and Judith. I'm sure you're all anxious for a report on Herman. He is still under observation for heart and kidney function and will probably be in the hospital for the rest of the day and tomorrow. They just are keeping him for observation. They want to make sure everything's fine before they send him home. And he's getting very tired of being observed, so keep his anxious feelings in your prayer, as well as his health overall. It seems to be that these problems are mostly complications from the different meds he's getting, right? He was on heart medication already because of past problems, and then they introduced a regimen of medications for his stroke, to stop further strokes and to help in his recovery. And they're trying to get all those medications to play well together, I think, is the biggest problem at this point. And but please keep his doctor's wisdom in your prayers, as well as his health. We wish God would just take care of the problem himself and leave those doctors out of it. But if God hasn't miraculously healed him by now, then we're going to go the long route on this situation. And we've got to remember that God is using those doctors to bring about his plan. Our pastor is recovering, as far as I can tell, and his therapist, at a regular rate from the injury sustained from his stroke. And we get these other things out of the stabilized, and he'll be able to continue on that road to recovery. Judith, of course, needs your prayers for comfort and for peace. And she's not able to be with him in the hospital. That's tough for him, tough for her. And so if she could get in there with him, it would make this situation a lot easier for both of them. But right now it seems the best solution is that he stabilizes and can get out of the hospital so that they can have the love and support of one another. And that would take care of a lot of our prayer need. But keep them in constant prayer, we may once again have the blessing of teaching from our pastor. Let's see. Please keep Kit and I in your prayers for teaching. Keep the Wise and the Dake households in your prayers. The youth ministry, of course, they are limited on how they can meet. I think they did some outside meetings when the lockdown eased up, and now of course restrictions are coming back in, and it's tougher to get them to engage. They come a lot for the social interaction with each other to the youth group meetings during the week, and they're trying to carry that on in Zoom and other electronic formats, and that has its own difficulties. So be in prayer for the Wise and Dake households. Strep and colds and things like that, I know, coming up in the Wise household. The Dakes are seemingly stable at the moment. Haven't heard a report from them lately. So keep Liberty Youth Ministries in your prayer, and you can always see what's going on in the youth ministry in their website, www.libertyyouthministries.com. Keep Cindy Edwards in Wichita Falls in your prayers, please. Johnny Thompson was released from the hospital. They're still trying to evaluate the effectiveness of the chemotherapy that he had received, but they let him get out of the hospital and put him on hospice care. And he lives with his son Bobby and Jerry Lynn, his daughter-in-law. And, of course, Terry is here in town. That's her dad. And his daughter Kelly had come down and has been visiting for a couple of weeks or so. And so Johnny is pain management is an issue, and just a matter of how long he's going to continue this fight he has with cancer. Please keep him and the family in prayers. Autumn Switzer, our youth group young lady that is fighting lung cancer, and is, as by all reports, been a tremendous witness throughout this process. She's putting her life on hold because she has a life-threatening disease. She's going to start Texas A&M in the fall. She is proceeding with all faith in her life, and please keep her in your prayers. Let's see. Annelle is with her son Jay and family, and they are returning from a vacation, and so they're traveling today, tomorrow, or hopefully they'll be here by tomorrow. Be here today. So they're on the road. Pray them on home. Let's see. The Reasley family is a missionary family that we support in Mexico, and there was a newsletter from them last month, and there was an emergency prayer request a week or so ago for Pat Reasley. Pat has a heart condition and has been on borrowed time for at least a year, if not longer, and she has had further complications, kidney failure. Heart and kidneys go together. When one is going down, the other one does too. And she's almost in full renal failure. She is in Mexico there, not going to try and come home or go to a hospital in the States or anything. She is determined that as long as she is alive, she will serve the Lord in Mexico. So I think she'll be writing a class for those that she ministers to right up to the time the Lord takes her home. Please be in prayer for the Reasley family always, but especially in this time. Pray for Bill and his comfort, her husband, and the Reasley family as her daughter Courtney is a doctor. And that's part of their service to the community there in Hermosillo, Mexico. And at the beginning of the COVID outbreak, they had a lot of people coming in sick, and they may have had the flu, they may have COVID, they had no testing, they just treated them all to the best of their ability. And the several family members have had strep and things like that, as they've gone through this whole ordeal. I think they're starting to get some COVID testing available to them and finding out there are some there, but they have a very hands-on ministry there as they serve the people of this small town outside of Hermosillo. And they use that service, soup kitchen, medical attention, care for the elderly. They converted their own home into a elderly care facility for homeless elderly people. These guys are the most genuine missionaries I've ever seen in my life. They've gone there, they live there, they live in the exact same conditions as the people they serve. They take every opportunity to demonstrate Christ's love that might make those people want to hear the Word of God. And then they do their best to teach them that Word. And they're a magnificent family, and that's a multi-generational missionary outreach. Pat and Bill started that ministry. His sons and daughters came on board, and most of their grandchildren were born in Mexico, and they have all, every one of them have expressed desire to be a part of that ministry into the future. How magnificent is that? But so please always keep the Riesley Family Ministry in your prayers, and especially in this time with Pat's health condition. Let's see. Most of all, let's pray for our country. There's no political solution. The only solution lays in the work of God the Holy Spirit to bring the spiritual love and unity where none exists in our country. There can be no work of the Spirit without the gospel of Christ, so pray that it is spread wide and fast. Be a part of that spread. Pray for the Spirit's work and revival in our country. If enough believers come to Christ and learn how to walk in the power of His Spirit, then God can use our nation to continue to spread the gospel worldwide. And if He cannot, then we may not have a nation much longer. So if you value your freedom in this country, then spread the freedom that you have in Christ. I'd like to remind you also that there are three ways that you can give to support this ministry. You can go to our website, www.springvalleybiblechurch.org, and there's a donation link at the top of the page. And I remind you that, link is set up through PayPal. You don't have to have a PayPal account. It's just the way that we assure a secure transaction for you. You can use your credit or debit card to give through PayPal there. You can also on our website is our address. You can always mail us a check or a box of gold. Let's see. You can also stop by here and join us in the worship of, and study of the Word. And we aren't passing a plate, but we do have one left on the table in the back. Feel free to drop off checks or gold there. Okay. All right. So these prayer requests in mind, any of them I'm forgetting here, guys? Okay. See, I'm not looking at the Facebook page, so if one comes up on there, let me know, and I'll bring it up. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that despite the crooked and perverse generation we live in, you've been so gracious to allow us to come together to worship thee in the Spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we just lift up our country and pray for the work of your Spirit. We pray that he would work in us. We pray that he would work through all the churches where the pastor dares to teach the Word of God in truth. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the impact of your word in the souls of enough individual believers would be enough to keep us one nation under God, and that we might glorify our Savior and spread his glorious message through this world. Heavenly Father, we lift up the Riesley Family Ministry, and we pray for Pat, and we pray for the rest of the family's comfort and guidance in this tough time for them. We pray for Johnny and Autumn and Tish and all those who have cancer and illnesses on our prayer list. Heavenly Father, we pray for the wisdom of their doctors and the healing hand of your Spirit in bringing them through their illnesses. Heavenly Father, we lift up our youth ministry, and we pray for the wives and day households, and that you would keep a protection from the unseen forces as well as from the illnesses prevalent in our society now. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those young people might learn to build their young lives on faith in you that would impact future generation. Heavenly Father, we ask all these things that our Lord and Savior might be glorified in our individual lives, in our ministries, in our nation, that all that we might do might be done to the glorification of He who deserves it all. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, sir. Amen. Let's see. All right. Well, let's start with my verse to you. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the mystery of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I keep reading that verse to you because I want you to understand that your spiritual walk does not lie in the teaching that I'm about to give you from God's Word. I conduct my study in the filling of the Spirit, and to the best of my ability, as I was prepared to do, and I'm allowed to study. Despite my limitations as a man who has a full-time job with a family life, I study as much as I can to prepare for these classes. I have a home and a wife to care for, as each of you do. I often feel that I don't put in as much time as I should in preparation. But each class I teach, I do so with fervent prayer that the Spirit of God will feed His flock. The purpose of our time together is that you be encouraged and equipped to glorify your Savior in all that you do. If you seek to separate your life and your spiritual life, then you're two-souled. Dysoukos, as James puts it in his epistle. Or in his book, the process of sanctification is to get to be Spirit-filled all the time. When we are in the Spirit, we glorify Christ. That's the purpose of our lives. Walk in the Spirit and thereby glorify Christ. That's why what we're left here to do after salvation. So, this morning, let's take a look at our walk. There are four Greek verbs translated as walk in the New Testament. The first one of them is dirkomai, and that one's used some 42 times in the New Testament, and it means to go, walk, journey, pass through a place. Usually it's making a trip with destination in mind, right? With the, dirkomai, if you transliterate it, it's going to be D-E-E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Yes, sir. Right now, I'm just talking about the Greek words translated walk. I'm not in a passage yet. Okay? I'll be there shortly, though. let's see. So, yeah, dirkomai, it's always to pass through some place, and it's not the passing that it's really emphasizing. It's where that destination is. And that's what's interesting about that word, to go to different places, because almost always it's the final destination that's in mind. It's almost always used, physically traveling, not used a lot metaphorically, like to some spiritual destination. So we're not going to go chase down those 42 instances. I'm just giving you all the verbs translated as walk in the New Testament. But dirkomai is exactly what we are doing in this life. Remember, we are not of this world. We ain't stopping. We're just passing through. We have a final destination. And that's our objective, is to get there with the glorification of our Savior in the process. Just like that word means to go someplace to with that destination in mind, we live our lives knowing that we're just passing through here. It's that place we're going to spend eternity that's important. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved and we will be assured. We can be assured that that final destination is in the presence of the Most High. As we live our life after salvation, that will determine the quality of that existence for all eternity, as to whether we have any eternal reward based on the work that God the Holy Spirit has done through us. So, but like I said, most of the time, That word is talking about traveling in the New Testament. The second one that we're going to see is orthopedo. Ortho, as in orthopedic, ortho in the orthopedic surgery or something, and that means to be straight, right? An orthopedic doctor is straightening out your bones. Okay, podeo. That's going to be orthopodeo, orthopodeo, and that's a form of the word pedi, right? Where we get foot, which is foot. So orthopedo is to walk in a straight course, to act uprightly, right? And it's that word would have been in this early class. We were in Philippians, and we saw that they were walking crooked, right? A crooked and perverse generation, and this word orthopedeo is just the opposite of walking crooked. It's to have a straightforward purpose in our lives. And this word for walk occurs once in the New Testament, and that's in Galatians 2:14. Okay? Galatians 2:14 says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" Well, without going into background on that verse, but remember the Galatians were being told that now that they were Christians, they had to act like Jews. They had to follow the Mosaic law, be circumcised, and things like that. And and in the beginning of the book there, 2:14, where this is mentioned, Paul is talking about how that's been a struggle since the very beginning with the Jews who became Christian. How much of the Jewish tradition should they adhere to please God, even though they believe that Christ is the redemption that they had been seeking throughout the Old Testament. And so that's what he's talking about in the verse overall. But that word there, "but when I saw they were not straightforward, that's our word orthopedeo. They were not walking straight. They were about the truth of the gospel. If they understood that gospel is simple faith in the work of God through Christ Jesus to save you, then they would understand that we're going to continue on straight through, right? Continue on in that path and live our lives in the same manner. Simple faith in the work of God the Holy Spirit through us. Not through a system of works, be it Mosaic law or any other set of rules that man can come up with. And man can come up with some crazy rules, I can tell you. Once saw the game rock, paper, scissors, right? Where you do a rock, a paper, or scissors, right? One against the other, and paper beats rock, scissors beat paper. And rock beats scissors, and you have a competition of which symbol you throw down. And I once saw an instruction manual for rock, paper, scissors that was a good inch and a quarter. that much minutia and detail about this simple child's game of rock, paper, and scissors, okay? So that's man's natural propensity, that we want to come up with the set of rules, and we want to define the ways that we're going to compete and win and show others that we have won righteously and that we've done the job, right? Well, if they're going to be straightforward, then they've got to understand that as they've entered, so they continue to walk, and they need to walk straight through. And that's why we see that particular word used in that passage, okay? Galatians 2:14. The main one that we see used, main Greek word that we see translated to walk is peripateo. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. Peripateo. Peri means around. And pateo is basically to walk, right? Walking around. And it means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities given you. And it's to live your life, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, or to pass or spend one's life. This is all described with the word walk, not just the physical action of walking. So we're going to look at some verses with this word and try to see how it is that we're to walk or conduct our lives in a manner that glorifies our Lord. Okay? First passage we're going to look at is Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. Gratitude, we saw that early in the earlier class as well. This is, you know, if you understand the gospel, if you understand that God became man and suffered death on a cross that He might pay the sin of pay the price of our sin to give us His righteousness so that we can come before the Most High God, then you ought to be thankful for that, right? And that isn't something like somebody gives you a cookie and you say thanks and your gratefulness wears off with each bite of the cookie, right? This is a cookie you're going to eat the rest of your life, and you ought to stay thankful for that gift that God has given you. But even greater still, God continues to give you through the power of the Spirit, through the expression of your simple faith, that you know God the Holy Spirit is available to you, and that when He shows you the right thing to do, you can do it. Not because you are special, but because God the Holy Spirit is alive and well inside of you. So, you have received Christ by faith. He's given you this gift. So walk in Him. This is how we conduct our lives. We have our faith in the power that Christ has given us, and we continue on in our life, every aspect of our life, hopefully, trusting God that we might glorify our Savior. As I said, you don't have a work life and a church life. You don't have a this life and a that life. You have a life. That's all you have. One shot at it. And in the time that God has allotted you, you are required to be grateful for the gifts that God has given you and live your life according to those gifts. And God has told you again and again throughout His Word. Indeed, since the Garden of Eden up to this very day, He continues to remind you that He loves you, He has redeemed you, and He wants your adoration and gratefulness in your life all the time. And each thing that comes your way is a blessing to you, because either it's an out and out blessing, a gain in some way, or it's an opportunity to continue trusting God and thereby build eternal rewards. Either way, no matter what happens in your life, if you have faith, if you have the power of God, if you're employing the power of God, the Holy Spirit, through your faith, then you're going to see that blessing in your life and you'll be grateful for it. Think of how that's going to transform your life. Just that one thing. If you can be thankful for the grace that God has given you in everything that you do, it's going to ease your life. It's going to give you joy. It's going to give you peace in the midst of turmoil. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other night, and I just love my brother-in-law. He's got such a marvelous attitude, and I got to tell you I was kind of complaining about some things going on, and my brother-in-law, every time I would say something, before I could turn it into a complaint, my brother-in-law would say, "Man, what a blessing! That's such a blessing. And it would cut me off right there. I can't complain. I've got to acknowledge that God has blessed me in that situation. And he and my brother-in-law was absolutely right. If we keep that expression of gratitude, if we recognize the blessing of God is coming at us, poured on us each and every day in everything that we do, it helps us to remember that we're relying on God the Holy Spirit and give God the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work through you and express Christ's love. That's the glorification you're here for. So we're established in our faith and instructed, taught about our faith, and if we're overflowing in gratitude, we're going to be built up in Him, right? Firmly rooted, now being built up in Him and established in faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. The second place I want to look at this Greek word, parapeteo, is in Ephesians 5:1. Pardon me. We were talking about imperatives in the first class, and here's one that ought to give you a little bit of humility about following and executing the imperatives in God's Word. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God. That's an imperative command. So are you what are you gonna do to imitate God? That's a pretty tall command to be given. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Remember, we are in Christ. Christ is the Son of God. We go before the throne of the Most High and cry out, Father, Daddy, because we are His beloved children, because we are in Christ. So, be imitators of God as beloved children, and here's what you do. Walk in love. Walk in love. That's God the Holy Spirit. That's working in you to demonstrate His fruits in your life. Remember that Christ is our model. Christ did not give us an imperative command that we cannot follow. The Bible didn't give us an imperative command we cannot follow. This is exactly what Christ did. Christ, the humanity of Christ, did everything, all the miracles and everything that He did, all the love that He produced, even the love to die on a cross for us, through the power of God the Holy Spirit. And we've been given that power. So we walk in that love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Fragrant aroma, as in the Old Testament, when they would put the sacrificed lamb on the fire or the grain offering or whatever that they burned, it would go, even an incense offering, right? The smoke would go up, and the idea is that if God liked the smell, then He accepted the offering, okay? And that's what He means by a fragrant aroma. It's acceptable to God, this thing that you've done, to be an imitator of God. Walk in love. Walk in love just as Christ did it, just as Christ loved you, even to the point of death, right? That's how hard we gotta love, even to the point of death. We hope that isn't necessary. We hope but if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Because that's what Christ did for us. That's what we call a martyr. Someone who has actually died because they were showing the love of Christ. Let's see. So a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. An acceptable sacrifice to God is what it's saying there. Nothing is acceptable if we do it ourselves, right? We've got to do God's work with God's power, because only it's good enough for God. So we get access to that through our faith. The third verse that I'm going to look at here today for walk, where we see peripateo, is 1 John 2. That's the epistles in the back near Revelations. 1 John. 1 John 2, starting in 1, My little children. Again, this is the relationship that we have with God. We are children because we are in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. My little children, Paul says to, or John says to this flock, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, right? I don't want you to sin. That's why I'm telling you these things. I don't want you to sin. And if anyone sins, and we're all going to, right? If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Anytime that we sin, that we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that we're acting according to the rules and regulations of man in our lives, then we can always go back in faith to the work of Christ and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in our life. If we sin, we have to remember that Christ died for those sins. That's why He's our advocate with the Father. When we come back to God in faith, then the Father, that Jesus Christ, turns to the Father and says, "I paid for that sin." He could still have a relationship with you, okay? And He is the righteous one, and God is going to forgive us for that sin that we've committed. And He Himself, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. He is the satisfying sacrifice. That sweet aroma we just talked about, that the fact that the smell of that sacrifice went all the way to God, He accepted it. That's what Christ's work was on our behalf. It was propitious. It was enough, and it was satisfying to God. And not for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Remember, believers, when we believed in God, it wasn't just that we needed the forgiveness because we needed the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins had already been forgiven. The sins of the whole world were forgiven on that cross. We're making a faith decision in Christ, and that's going to give us the righteousness of God. That faith decision brings about the imputation of God's righteousness. And it's the fact that we have God's righteousness that we can have a relationship with the Father through Christ. So, but we know this of, but even of those, even of the whole world. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know Him. If we keep His commandments, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. There's another if clause. If we keep His commandments. What's the commandment? The entire Mosaic law? Is it that we be baptized? Is it some other of the hundreds of imperatives given in the New Testament, like be an imitator of God? No, it's our simple faith. That's the commandment that God has given us. Trust me. Believe that I'm going to do the right thing for you. And simply in faith, by simple faith, we fulfill the whole law. As Paul tells us in Romans, we keep His commandments by loving as Christ loved. Verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, in other words, does not show the love of Christ in his life, he's a liar. He's a liar. You know he's a liar because he's arrogant and hateful. He's not demonstrating Christ's love towards others. He's not gracious. He's not grateful. And the fruits of the flesh are just as apparent as the fruits of the Spirit. And when we see that rotten apple, we know that that's not of God. And if the produce is not of God, then the one who's saying, I've come to know God, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. He's mature. He's come to the full plan of God, because we see the love of God. We see the fruits of the Spirit. We know that person is putting his faith in the right, or her faith in the right place. And that's the whole plan of God, the mature believer right there. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself. Finally, we got to walk, huh? You're all waiting. Where's Peripateto in this? The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Christ walked, right? And conduct his life, remember, was one of the ways we define that peripateto, to walk. You ought to be conducting your life just like Christ conducted his life. You ought to express God's love, love others more than yourself, and demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these, against such things, there is no law, right? So, this walk is found in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Once again, look at peripateto, look at Galatians 5:16, please. Short verse, I can read it to you. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Okay? Well, that's right where the fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians 5. And that's the way that we avoid the fruits of the flesh, the wicked and perverse generation around us. We, by faith, seek God the Holy Spirit's work in our life, and it's apparent when it's there. If you're continuously in fear, that's not of the Spirit. If you're continuously worried, that's not of God the Holy Spirit. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Fear, worry, anger. If you're angry about people tearing down statues, you probably need to check your faith status. You can get upset about unjust things, but it's not supposed to lead to anger. You know, you can be concerned about the fate of our country and the fact that the number one thing that communist regimes do is rewrite history historically, right? And know that you can see that that's what's playing out. But that's just eyes to see the devil's world around you, and you're given those eyes by God the Holy Spirit. If there's something that you need to do, God the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to do that. Being angry and anxious about it is not a fruit of the Spirit, though. Okay? Vote. That would be a good thing. That's what God has given, the freedom that we've been given. Self-governance. And it was part of our Constitution because our founders understood volition is mandated before God. Men have to choose, men and women have to choose how they are to live and conduct their life. And if they decide that they're not going to honor God, then it's going to bring about an end to this country. Okay, as John Adams, I believe, said, our government was made for Christians, because without Christians, it's not going to last. You've got to have self-governance, right? And I saw a marvelous, I think I reposted it on my website, a gentleman talking about talking to an atheist economics student that had come from China to study at Harvard and was about to complete his degree and go back to China. And he asked him, what's the most shocking or biggest thing that you've noticed about the American economic system? And he said, and the guy's still an unbeliever, he's an atheist, a communist Chinese person, right? And he said that it is so closely tied to Christian faith that, you know, without the self control of Christianity, without the community of churches, then the economic system would fall. It would be ruled by greed, and it would be taken over by one group or another. It's only the only thing that's preserving it is the fact that you all believe in God and you all have a common goal in through the church. He didn't understand in Christ. He just knew that this governing thing of the church, didn't even understand all the different religions. He just understood that it was the role of God in the lives of Americans that made our economic system work. Okay? And, we just can't survive as a democratic republic, or as a laissez-faire capitalist system, if we don't have the self-restraint of God the Holy Spirit fruit in our country. So, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Well, peripateo is mostly used throughout the New Testament, talking about our spiritual conduct. It's used more times to talk about our spiritual conduct than it is to talk about the physical act of walking across a room. Okay, and because you got to remember, so many times in the Word of God, we want to see a physical this world application of what's going on in the Bible, and most of the time, God isn't talking about this world. The Bible is here to give us information about God's world, not to give us information about our world. Our whole point of our existence is to transform this into God's world through the power of God the Holy Spirit. So, Satan has a walk of his own for you to follow and does some walking himself. We see this verb, peripateo, in 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That word they use there, prowls. They translated it as prowl to keep the poetic imagery of Satan as a lion. And that's a word we would describe for a lion moving around through the bush looking for his prey, right? That's our word peripateo. Satan is walking around looking for someone to devour. And who's he looking for? He's looking for the ones demonstrating the light of God in his world of darkness. Those are the ones he wants to eat alive and destroy. He wants to conform them to his kingdom so that we do not walk in God's kingdom. I'm supposed to be done at 11:45? Somewhat. Well, I think I'm going to save a passage. I wanted to do a whole book of Romans. And I think I may not be able to get it in 4.5 minutes, but or a whole chapter in Romans, and may be actually coming back to that one next week. But there is one final word for walk in the New Testament. It only occurs once, but it may be the most powerful one. This is a form of peripateo. It's just got a prefix in front of it. In. And when you have a spelling rule, when you have a N in front of a P, it becomes an M. So it's M peripateo in Greek, not in English. But, so M peripateo is to walk in, right? Just in plus peripateo, to walk. And, to go about in something or to walk in something. And we see this in, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of God. We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a quote from Leviticus 26:12 that Paul has used in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Remember, Paul is always emphasizing the fact that everything the Jews were taught was God's plan for all time. And even though the Jews have fallen out of favor, God's plan marches on. And the great mystery of the Old Testament is that God could do His work even through we lowly Gentiles. And so Paul has quoted the Old Testament promise of God to the Jews to these Corinthians to remind them that God wants to dwell in us. He wants to walk among us. He wants the whole world to know that He is our God and that we are His people. Just as that was His plan in the Old Testament, that all the other nations would see the Jews, to see Israel, and say, man, they have the most powerful God. You do not want to mess with them. They have they serve the Most High, and we want to bless them and be blessed by them. We don't want to fight them because they represent the real God. And he wanted the whole world to come to him through that race of Israel. So what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Zero. Zero agreement with the temple of God and idols, right? That's the dichotomy of this world and God's world, right? He wants us in the midst of the devil's world to have us walk, to be able to walk in us, right? He wants to demonstrate himself through us. And the reason why is so that we can be manifest to the world and everyone will want to see God because what God's work has been in us. This is our job. This is our walk. Mind where you step as you go through the rest of your week. Remember that God the Holy Spirit wants to work in you every day all the time. Not just for an hour on Sunday morning when you can sit and study His Word. He wants you to apply that Word. He wants you relying on His Spirit. And He wants you to see the work of His Spirit in your life. Not only you, but all those around you. That's what's going to cause revival in our country. That's what's going to spread the gospel and the work of God. And that's our job. Pray that God's work is done through you. Let's close in a word of prayer today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to turn to your word, to open it up, to see the secret of the ages revealed, that you have always loved us, that you've always provided a path for us, that you've always wanted to be in us and revealed to others through us, through your children Israel, and your work there is not done, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're privileged in this unique time in the world where the church, just like our nation has been, relies on our faith, reliance on you, Heavenly Father. We pray so much that your Spirit would work in us this week. Heavenly Father, give us the eyes to see His work in our lives. Give us the encouragement of one another. Give us the joy of gratitude for your gracious blessing and the work of your Son. We ask all these things that He might be glorified, for He deserves it all. In His name we pray, sir. Amen. Thank you.